Have you ever wondered why our tax date falls on April the 6th? You wouldn't be wrong to suspect the answer has something to do with mothers, it being Mother's Day. The reason threads us back to Mary and the Annunciation, a date celebrated as Lady Day. Mary, the most revered mother that has ever lived, I lift up to you to meditate upon in gratitude for her great yes to God, beginning the unravelling of the curse that was originated with Eve's no to obedience. And let's not forget Joseph, who was in his yes to God, Mary's helpmate, so proved a better example of a husband than Adam, more unravelling. From Mary, I'm going to take you to Mothering Sunday. In the same book I learned of the hilarious fact about our tax date, I also learnt Mothering Sunday, 300 or 400 years ago, wasn't about celebrating our mothers, but our mother church. It was the day you left your local or daughter church and travelled to worship at your mother church, often a cathedral. It's also a day in the middle of Lent, where we can all have a break from fasting. So it is also being called Refreshment Sunday. I could almost regret this change in custom, especially now Mother's Day is so commercialised like Christmas. But my real regret is that it can be the most painful day in the year for some, which I want to reflect on from a Lent perspective, which may be uncomfortable. To quote Reverend Canon Ulea, uncomfortable reflection is not all there is to self-examination. It can reveal hidden joys and unacknowledged benefits and provide encouragement and motivation for the days ahead. I was blessed with a wonderful mother who always tried to do her best for us, even though her life and so mine could be very messy with 3 marriages. You'll be pleased to know she struck third time lucky. But not everyone has an uncomplicated relationship with their mother. And for some, that relationship, or lack of, is a source of great pain. For others like me, the pain is in the loss. Mother's Day is a reminder our mother is no longer with us, and there is no other relationship quite like it. A few days before my mother died, I apologised to her for being such a nightmare teenager, and she got quite cross with me and said, "Stop it, you're perfect." Of course, as you all know, I'm not. But she showed me how God views us when he looks on us with his great love. Our faith in Jesus means our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. So when God looks at us, we are perfect and perfectly loved. However, if our relationship has been complicated with our mother, with wounds not dealt with, death leaves you hanging without the possibility of resolution. And that's a truly painful place to be. I've had friends who were forever looking for approval and affirmation from their mothers because they'd never had it as children and were still seeking it well into their grey years. If that's you, I want to suggest this wasn't because there was something wrong with you, but with your mother. Pain that isn't transformed is transferred. You don't have to accept your mother's brokenness as your inheritance. Instead, embrace the freedom Christ came to give us. The freedom that comes from forgiving our mothers for where they've let us down and having compassion on them as fellow human beings who get things wrong. If you have been rejected as a son or daughter, you have been accepted by your Creator God. And that is universe huge. By his stripes, we are healed. In the person of Jesus, God embraced all the pain of being human. We can never say God is distant and doesn't know what it's like to be us in our struggles. Jesus may have had an amazing mother, but he knew what it was to be let down and rejected. If you have been let down or rejected, rejoicing for the good mothers we have known or know helps ease any pain in our hearts. Look around you. Let us be thankful for them, for being thankful lifts our hearts away from any heaviness we may be carrying. I'm a widow, and every happy marriage I come across, I thank God for, as a good in the world. It helps. So what else do we do with these unresolved feelings about our mothers? The pain of simple loss, or the pain of unresolved hurt? Here I'll take you to one of our daily Lent reflections into the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus was in agony, preparing his mind for the cross, he asked his friends to stay awake alongside him. This is where home groups are so powerful. We have a community of believers we can share our pain with and receive the solace of prayer, fellowship, and understanding. People you meet with regularly year in, year out, who get to know you really well and can come alongside you. Or you may have a soul friend or a prayer partner. We're not meant to do this journey alone, either without God or without each other. Acknowledging whatever our troubles are is the first step towards healing. We can hide them in the dark, but the light is where healing happens. Bring it all to God, who knows you. God, who is our parent, our father and mother, our brother in Jesus, our comforter in the person of the Holy Spirit, we are the blessed ones. We don't just have an earthly mother, but a perfectly loving parent in our God. Hiding difficult feelings from ourselves or God means we're not letting him in to unravel us. Here are some Beatitudes from the Message Bible that help explain this unraveling. This is God's word to those who are suffering. Matthew 5:3-10. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God, his food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. When my grandmother died, I can remember sitting with my distraught mother, who felt she was at the end of her rope without her. I replied that at least she had me, but I would have no one, as I was 31, single and infertile. A few years later, on Mother's Day 1995, I took my mother to HTB and was overwhelmed with a sadness that I would never be a mother. I was like Hannah in the book of Samuel, then married, but still barren. How many of us here have shared that feeling of longing for a child that wasn't on the horizon? Another reason why Mother's Day can be so painful to some. Here, Hannah calls out in desperation to our Lord. 1 Samuel 1:9-19. Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." And she kept on praying to the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, but her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. Hannah stood up. She resolved to not sit on her anguish, but take it to the Lord, and he answered her prayer. Let's not sit on our anguish, but stand up and take it to the Lord and accept his answer, which may or may not be the one we were hoping for. The days for a longed-for child may be past, or the Lord may have a different plan for your life. I remember Bishop Sandy Miller from HCB saying, if you're single, it's not because God has forgotten about you. We are called to different lives, and single people and childless people are a blessing to us all. As so beautifully put by our speakers recently, Reverend Sue Cook and Dr. David Bennett, who reminded us that Jesus was single and not a parent, and our role model. Let me take you back to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus asked his friends to stand by him as he wrestled with the ordeal ahead. He asked, as we would too, for a way out, but concluded with, "Not my will, but yours be done." Are we prepared to accept God's plan for our life when it differs from our own? That, my friends, is the path to true peace. When I think of the times that I have contended with God, obeying but objecting to his will, afterwards I have gone down on my knees with gratitude when his will made eventual sense. That doesn't always happen before we go to glory, but we are called to trust that his loving purposes for us are always to prosper us, not to harm us. Sometimes we are called to live in a place of tension, of having a desire burning in our hearts, but not knowing if it's God's will for us. And then we just have to surrender the desire to God in trust and embrace his peace for where we're at. I say just, but I know that can involve much wrestling in prayer. Again, best done with a soul friend, home group, or with prayer ministry. Hannah kept her side of the bargain and gave her son Samuel to the priest Eli when weaned, probably about 4 years old. Samuel became a prophet, a priest, and was the last judge before the reign of kings, prophesied by Hannah, as you will hear. My own journey from barrenness to having a child was no less a result of divine intervention than Hannah's. I was told my only hope was surgery or IVF, and I believed if God wanted me to have a child, I shouldn't do either, which attitude greatly upset my husband, my poor husband. One night, I asked God and said, "You know, I am totally against IVF as unnatural, but tonight I'm asking you what you think." My Bible opened at 2 Kings chapter 5, which was all about a Syrian general called Naaman. I'd never read it before and wondered why I was experiencing the Holy Spirit torchlight on the page when I read he had leprosy. Then God spoke to me and said, "You are putting yourself above every woman who's had IVF when you want a baby just as much. You are to do this thing and you will have a baby." What God showed me was that I was hiding from my own pain, not being honest about it with him or myself, as the real reason I was against IVF was fear of not being able to cope with the disappointment of it not working. God knows us so well and can bring our fears into the light. Hannah got up and ate, no longer downcast. I was the same. I had enough faith that God would see me through. He was my strength where I was weak. And Miranda Mary was the fruit of my obedience and turning full circle away from seeking help to embracing it. In case you're wondering, Patrick arrived the first time I tried to have another baby, and Lois arrived when I was trying not to have any more. I love God's sense of humour. Being able to cope with disappointment is something I've only learned to do in my walk with Jesus. It has taken me years to learn that if something doesn't go my way, there will often be a hidden blessing, not always one I can see, but I hold disappointment more lightly in my trust in the Lord. We are loved, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that is the bottom line for everything. We can choose to let disappointment crush or encourage us. We are the object of a spiritual battle. The world can be against us, but God is always for us. I love the way the Old Testament and the New hold hands. Let's go back to Mary. We all know of her beautiful song of rejoicing. My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit does rejoice in God my Saviour. Now listen to Hannah. And whatever your circumstances, let her song be yours too. Why, you may ask? Hannah, like me, was rejoicing in having her prayer answered in a baby. But Mary's baby was born for us all, to answer the deepest longing of our hearts, to be completely and unconditionally loved. Hannah's prayer is also our prayer, as her God is our God. 1 Samuel 2, verse 1 to 11. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry are hungry no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. I delight in your deliverance. We may be waiting for the return of Jesus for the completion of all things, but we are delivered from the power of death by the cross and have a future and a hope. Even if we have great troubles in our lives to contend with, we're not alone. We are the Easter people. I can't imagine what it was like for Hannah to give her longed-for child away. Our children can break our hearts. The greatest pain I've ever witnessed is the pain a parent feels when separated from their child, either through estrangement or death. I've seen the enemy have a field day here. You are a bad parent, so deserve this. It is your fault. You could have prevented this. You don't deserve to ever be happy again. The whispers are endless. If that is you, remember Hannah's words. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. To touch on the message from yesterday's Women's Breakfast by Davina Taylor Clark, the truth about who God isn't changed by our circumstances. When Davina's husband told her their baby had died, her answer was, Jesus loves us. Listen to Jesus' love song calling to himself, not the whispers of the enemy. You are the apple of his eye, cherished and understood. Let us turn back to Mary, witnessing her son suffer the cross, without the understanding of anything more than what she was seeing. The eternal was veiled in the immediate. God would have witnessed her pain and had to let her go through it to come out to the other side into resurrection joy. Let us not be distracted by what we see in front of us, but hold on to the eternal purposes of God working in all our lives to draw us closer to being refined into the person God intended us to be when he made us, to set us free from who we are not. Finally, let us rejoice and be glad for the mothers that birthed us, for thanks to them we're here, for Mary and Hannah, for the mothers around us, for the people that let us mother them. We can all be mothers. For those willing to mother us, and for the mothers of the future. Amen.